from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Jason Alexander.
Finally, I'm rolling with the kind of crowd I was born to be with.
Afternoons on the Score.
Play clock winding down. Going to two. They'll just get the snap off. Williams dancing. Williams running. Williams has a first down and smartly slides in the red zone and keeps this drive going.
There's a lot more going on in this play than what anybody knows. All right, they went from single high to cover two. It becomes two-man. It's two-man. You've got to diagnose other. What's the weakness of two-man? The quarterback scrambling. He identified it, stepped up in the pocket, and took off. That's how you gut a cover two-man defense. He even got the slip and slide in. He's even been practicing sliding. He's doing it all, Adam.
Fun broadcast with Adam Amin and Jim Miller for the Caleb Williams debut.
Let me say, had a great hug with Adam Amin on his way out today. He is, as discussed, one of the great huggers of all time.
He's a great hugger.
Certainly, Lawrence pointed out a great little man hug or small man hug. Maybe it was Burnsy who pointed that out. And I pride myself on having a good big man hug. And together we had two medium men hugs.
Oh, nice. Better big man hugger, you or John Vincent? Because like comping those two hugs, an Adam Amin hug and a John Vincent hug, one time I got two in the same day. I got one from each in the same day.
Yeah, and did you feel like you had two medium men hugs?
No, I felt like I had the best little man hug and the best big man hug.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of like on the old Nintendo hockey when you'd go with like a big guy and two little guys or like three little guys and two big guys. And it was basically like going with a bunch of medium guys. You know what I mean? Like it kind of balances itself out.
Amin's a much better hugger than I am. Like it's disarming to me. Like, cause we dapped up before the hug.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if he wants that, if he wants to just like come in for the straight hug, but I feel like I got
straight
it.
Hug. But, I mean, it's 2024. We can have any kind of hug.
No, I'm saying just like come straight in
gay hug if we want or
for the hug is what I'm saying. But I'm like,
I don't know if I've ever hugged Danny. Have I ever hugged Danny?
Speaks? I was just going to say,
right?
Have we ever hugged?
So I'm saying like Danny's describing himself as a hugger. I don't think I can. Maybe this is the week. You know what I mean?
Who knows?
It's
only Monday.
It's a normal week.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? We'll just hug and celebrate.
Hug him right now. You guys hug right now.
I'm going to give it a day or two.
I'll
go hug him.
Yeah, normal week. That's doing too much.
You know
right there.
You won't even.
I don't really. I don't like to.
You won't accept fist bumps.
No, I know.
You're a dick.
He swallows. He's what?
Whoa.
Whoa. I was going to say difficult, and then I stopped.
What?
You're difficult with to embrace.
So you're saying you're addicted to fist
you're,
bumps.
You're difficult to embrace because you kind of don't. You don't like fist bumps.
How big my shoulders are,
Yeah.
I've never hugged Shane.
We've hugged.
Have we?
Yeah, we hugged one time.
I guess it was memorable.
Yeah, it was like when the show started, we hugged.
But really?
Yeah, I remember it. You're a good hugger.
That's too early.
Have you and Tanny hugged?
No, I don't think so.
No, daily. We're two self-respecting Irish gentlemen.
Yeah, we're Irish Catholics.
Not back here, hugging back here. We don't even talk.
Yeah, we don't talk about emotions, okay. Let alone hug.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
We're a couple of therapized Jews in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of we're amazing that we haven't hugged more, frankly.
It's early in the week.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. We'll get to more of your first Caleb impressions in just a moment, but... The scramble.
That we just heard the scramble on the way in.
Yes.
And the reference to the slip and slide at the end, the slip and slide training and all of that. But yeah, you loved the scramble. Well, we all should love the scramble.
We all should love the scramble. But I it was a very busy day, beautiful, great Chicago weekend. I did not really consume any post game when it happened. So this morning,
yeah, no, you moved on to Olympic hoops and then Cubs and Sox.
It was a crazy, yeah,
one of the all-time sports days in recent memory, frankly, with women's soccer at the beginning, then Caleb, then Olympic hoops, and then Cubs and Sox. It was epic.
And we can talk about all the things, but I didn't consume any postgame. And so this morning, I finally got to it. When I was driving in, I pulled it up and just played it, and I thought this answer from Caleb on what he diagnosed that led to him tucking and running was worth hearing.
We've been practicing the slide with the slippy slide. So I had a plan in my mind of what they were going to do defensive-wise, and then they dropped out of it. They went two-man. At first I think DeMar was on the left side. I thought he was going to rotate, and the right safety was going to rotate down. He bluffed it, got over top of the vertical, I believe, to roam. And then after that, I got down to my back. My back was covered, and I saw the C's part, realized it was two-man, and took off.
Ha!
The C's part.
I thought that was just a pretty high degree of aptitude. We sometimes marvel at athletes' ability to have like a photographic memory and recall of specific plays. Obviously, this was not the most complex of defenses being run. They are not game planning for an opponent. There are not that many plays that he played relative to a game. But if he is going to be able to analyze what he was seeing in real time on the field 3 hours later in a post-game setting like that, that, you talk about processing, that's another way for him to convey a high degree of post-snap processing. I thought it was going to be one thing. It wasn't. The safety did, he bluffed something, then he did something else, then I saw this, then this happened defensively, so I took off. That is excellent.
Could not agree more. Baseline level of understanding, baseline level of processing and describing is extremely high. It's incredibly high. And it is some of the basic building blocks of NFL quarterback play. And we have gotten excited about scrambles of all kinds from different quarterbacks, and it's all good. But this kind of scramble, any quarterback can do. You don't have to have great athleticism to do this kind of scramble, because
yes,
you're watching everything develop and then you're seeing guys turn around, as he says, the C's part. So you're seeing, oh, look at that. The middle is open. We've seen pocket passers. We've seen Brady steal 12 yards on a scramble. You know?
Of course.
You've seen Matthew Stafford do it a million times.
Opportunistic running, take what the defense gives you, get down, don't take a hit, move on to the next play.
Absolutely. And having that in your back pocket, and yes, he can run faster than some of those guys that we're seeing, but we've seen people do like that forever. So for him to be able to do that is an incredibly good sign. And the way he talks about it, because every NFL quarterback, regardless of your athleticism, should be able to do that kind of scramble when the C's part.
Exactly. And so the physicality of it, we knew he could do. I mean,
sure,
he's got crazy college highlight reel runs. Like,
right,
he's more athletic than a Stafford or a guy like that.
But don't you think that kind of decision on a scramble is like NFL quarterback baseline? I mean,
100%.
Right?
I think that the description of it
is great.
And because he could have been asked to do that level of description of different plays, and he was. But
sure,
I just thought the level of, they showed me one thing, it wasn't what I thought it was, so I changed what I was going to do, and that ability to process it and explain it, like,
yep,
that is like, ooh,
like
that's relevant.
Who's the slowest pocket passing kind of quarterback in the NFL these days?
Probably like Cousins.
Yeah, Cousins. Yeah, Cousins can every once in a while steal 10, 12 yards,
sure,
like that.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And he can still do it. Gardner Minshew can do that.
Yeah.
You know? Like.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Ryan's now retired, but like, I think of a guy like Matt Ryan.
Sure.
Who, yeah,
smart enough
to realize, oh, it's man, everyone's got their back to me.
They're all running away.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me go take that. I will say on the slide, I noticed a tiny bit of hesitation, just a tiny bit, on the replay of him before he slid. Like, he was like, all right, let's make sure I slide correctly.
Foot up pretty high.
Yeah, no, like, the way it executed was fine, but I noticed that tiny bit. And that's literally the only time in dissecting the two drives that I saw him have a moment of thinking, where I noticed him thinking.
Sure.
Because, like, everything else was just like, oh, that instinct, playing.
Yeah.
Oh, right there. He, like, paused for a split second. So, and that's fine.
I guess he's not perfect.
He's, oh, God, I guess he's a human.
That
wow.
Sucks.
What a drag.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for.
Again, I would cut him. I would cut him.
Yeah, I know. You're a very hard grader. Phil in Burr Ridge, kind enough to call the Parkinson Spiegel Show with first impressions. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Spiegs. Danny, real quick, if what I'm reading on Twitter is true about your potential future, just want to wish you the best of luck. Chicago's got your back all the time, buddy.
Very kind, Phil. You know, today's about Caleb Williams. Tomorrow we'll talk about me. Thanks.
What are you even talking about, Phil?
Dump him.
Go ahead, Phil.
But by the way, I would like to wish Danny well on his future endeavors as a backup quarterback in Buffalo. I'm surprised that he's replacing Mitch Trubisky, but it makes sense with his knowledge of the position. Makes a lot of sense.
We just all hope you're having a great Monday, Danny.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you all. Thank
Don't
you.
Don't say all.
Yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, make your football point. These guys are yes-anding you way too much for my comfort level. Go ahead.
Apologies for jumping the gun. Okay, so just to rein back the Caleb praise a little bit, I want to get your thoughts on if you think, was Shane Waldron kind of, do you think he was trying to run a more vanilla offense? I think these naked bootlegs, while those were signature to Waldron in Seattle, I do think when you have the field for Caleb, you are somewhat limiting his wild plays. To go back to what you were saying at the opening segment, Danny, I think when you watch Mahomes mostly, he's in the shotgun and he does a fake play action, draw, handoff to the running back, and then he's allowed to kind of survey the entire field. I want to know if you guys think Waldron's going to be doing more of that, simplifying things for Caleb, or kind of letting him use his instincts more as the season gets started.
You know, it's an interesting read of the situation, Phil, and thank you for the call and the kind words. I didn't look at it as anything there that was limiting. I thought playing to his strengths, and some of it is natural instincts taking over. It's not something that's going to be able to be reined in with this kid. I don't think there's a flair to how he plays the game of football that is just so evident if you watched him in college at any length of time.
I thought the three bootlegs might have been a nod to the slight instability on the offensive line. Like, let's go ahead and make sure he's got some opportunities in these two drives that he's getting. Maybe it would have been three. Like, just make sure he's got some opportunities to make some throws on the run and use his eyes. So I thought it might have been a nod to that, because I agree in general, you don't want to cut the field in half. It was a concession to do that kind of stuff for Mitch and for Justin, and it's a concession to do that stuff. But, you know, this first time, I think it just gave him a chance to make some plays. And it's just two drives in the preseason. You don't want to show a lot. You don't need to show a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into what this offense is or is not going to be. Like, they're not game planning. The objective in that game, get out of that game healthy.
As long as we brought up the offensive line, it's Matt Pryor. Is that his name? The right guard?
Is it Mike Pryor?
Mark Pryor?
It's not Mark Pryor.
I know it's not Mark Pryor. It might be Mike Pryor, but he was a punter. Maybe it's Matt Pryor.
It's Matt Pryor. You had it. Matt Pryor.
Matt Pryor looked very strong. Seems to be a very strong man.
Which is something that I like in my offensive linemen.
I agree. I, too, like strong men as offensive guards. And obviously everybody in camp is a strong man. But
yeah, there's a lot of them who play professional football.
I saw some ISOs of him that looked very solid and stable. I'd be interested to know what people think as they're actually watching the offensive line with detail.
Yeah, this is reductive. I don't think Nate Davis is really in any jeopardy here. They paid him too much money. There is no financial benefit of cutting him.
Sure.
And when he plays, he has played pretty well. So I don't think there's really any risk of him not being there if he's healthy, but you need depth.
You need depth. I want to know that there is a non-Ryan Bates option that we can feel okay about, the right guard, in case Ryan Bates is a better option at center than Coleman Shelton. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I would like to know that there's somebody. And so far, Matt Pryor qualifies as somebody.
As somebody, yeah. And again, like,
I am somebody.
Oh, because I heard Lawrence being like, you know, it wasn't the most vanilla defense that they were playing, and he's right, because there were some blitzes. Like, they could have just like dropped everyone and just played coverage, but they are also not game planning for the Bears. And like, neither team is really doing any game planning in that scenario. So he wasn't targeted with stunts because he's the weakest link on the Bears' offensive line. It's not a great evaluation of anybody, because if you're the weakest link, they're going to game plan for you. So I'm still rooting for an offensive line of Darnell Wright, Nate Davis, Ryan Bates, Tevin Jenkins, and Braxton Jones, right to left.
Several texters getting in with their first impressions on Caleb. Beyond the arm talent and pocket awareness, the most important thing for me, he sees the field. He seems to see all the options. That can't be trained. You have it or you don't. Yeah, we've had enough conversations about, can you teach that? Can that develop? And that it doesn't appear that it's something that we're going to have to see develop. Another one, first impression, composure. Another one, first impression, quick release, like Rodgers. You know, it's so a lot of people are really, really enjoying what they see.
Yeah, and again, it is obviously just the preseason.
First impression.
It is seven pass attempts. That's okay. What this is. It is first impressions of Caleb Williams.
And anybody trying to kill your joy or kill your happiness on it? I haven't heard anybody, really.
No, you know? No.
I'm not noticing it that much. It'd be silly.
It'd be futile. It'd be silly. This team has legit earned, deserved hype. It's hype, man. Yeah. And it's not fake. So there's like real reason for it. They won seven games last year. They upgraded at wide receiver two, wide receiver three, running back, and oh yeah, quarterback, and in theory, upgraded at play caller. That's a pretty significant areas to upgrade at a football team.
We'll have Waldron problems along the way.
Every fan base has problems with their play caller, but except the Chiefs. And even they blamed Matt Nagy for like 12 weeks last year.
But I think that's a layup to call it an upgrade from play caller from Getsy.
It obviously should be.
I think it is a layup.
But it's also, there's a little bit of a chicken or an egg thing. Like, would Getsy look better if he had Caleb?
Yeah, and he obviously would have called things differently. Well, we'll see how it goes in Vegas. Vegas is, they don't know who their quarterback is. They know that Luke Getsy's their play caller, and Antonio Pierce is, you know, they're like, I don't want to do a lot of Raiders today, though. I just decided that on the fly.
Well,
you guys all right with that?
Yeah, yeah. No,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, we were ready.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
we spent a half hour in the meeting talking about it, dude.
This guy's just making autonomous choices over here as a dictator.
Old Raiders stuff, like some Marcus Allen stuff, some Jim Plunkett material.
Dude, Howie Long is hosting the 4 o'clock hour.
Can't wait. He's good. Shane says this guy's got to come on the air. Tom is a Packer fan.
Oh, boy.
And I assume your first impressions were fear, Tom, of Caleb Williams?
Not really.
Oh.
I've been a Packer fan since Vito Babe Corelli was a quarterback and Starr was the backup.
Okay.
The point that I'm trying to make is I'm just wondering what are the odds or when are you guys thinking that Caleb's going to walk on water?
Well, why would he need to walk on water when he can fly across the ocean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I've been listening to you guys. I'm a regular listener, but you guys are practically wetting your pants on this, and I think he's going to have a lot of promise, and I think he's going to challenge for the Packers.
Yeah.
Who's better, Jordan Love or Caleb Williams?
Pardon?
Who's better, Jordan Love or Caleb Williams?
Well, right now, it's Love.
Oh, yeah, it is. I agree with that. I agree with that. He's proven a lot more. But Caleb looks pretty good. Let me check my pants. Hang on. Nope, dry. Still dry. Okay. Thank you for your concern. Good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad. But the point being is I think it's finally going to be some good competition, and I'm looking forward to the games.
All okay. Right, man, we're looking forward to the games too, Tom.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't talk. We can't just not talk about him between now and the games as much as you might perhaps enjoy that. And we just saw him, and he looked good. Look, screw you, Tom. All right? I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud. You've had a very, very good run. You got Jordan Love. You had Aaron Rodgers. You had Brett Favre. Okay.
We'll see you November 17th, Tom.
See you then.
We'll see you November 17th.
Keep listening, and I say screw you with love, okay? And November 17th is an excellent call. We have to wait that long.
Yeah, we have to wait that long for Bears-Packers.
Did you see what Jordan Love did over the weekend, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
He threw three passes. One of them was a 65-yard touchdown. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Sat down.
Yeah,
he's good. A lot of quarterbacks look good. Jaden Daniels looked good.
Rookies looked good across the board. Yeah, Bears don't play a division game until that November 17th game.
That's crazy.
It's a weird backloaded division schedule, but yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I think I speak for everybody when I say screw you, Tom, but with love.
Shad's on the south side.
Oh, there he is.
What up, Shad?
Hello, guys. Always a pleasure. I like to say that you start my week off in a great grand way, and nothing else better to talk about today than the excellence of Dak Prescott. I mean, this guy was firing it. That was amazing, Danny. I don't know what you did. Oh, I'm sorry. This is about Caleb. My apologies.
You're so funny, Sean.
Hey, Danny, how you doing? Hey, I just want to say this, man. I thought the introduction was great. He didn't score, so I'm going to give him a C- on his grade if we're being professors and being critical about the overall evaluation of one Caleb Williams.
Field goals are scoring.
C-? What? How do you get a C-?
Well, let me ask you this, Speaks. When you came in to that game,
yeah,
you expected a perfect drive. You expected him to come out there, drive him down the field, score, and then sit on the sideline, get his nails painted, drink his Gatorade or his ginger water, and just, you know, observe and be the leader that we want him to be.
Yeah,
however,
but they called a running play on 2nd-and-1 and 3rd-and-1. Then Khalil Herbert tried to break 3rd-and-1 outside. That's not on Caleb Williams.
After the forensic accounting that I did, found out that Caleb changed the call at the line of scrimmage, Speak, so it's on Caleb that they ran it. Not my fault. It's part of his growth.
All right.
Okay. I didn't really. I missed that. He audibled into that run at 3rd-and-1?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're saying. All right, Shad.
My man.
All right. Yeah. See you, buddy.
Where's your baby, Shad? From now on, every time Shad calls, I'm going to picture him holding up his baby high in the air as he was at our remote the other day at the Marcus Gurney Cinemas there at the Wall. Very good-looking young baby there.
I don't know if Shad wants me to say the baby's name, but the baby's name was excellent.
Oh, the baby. I think we could say the baby's name. It's tremendous. You guys know the
David
baby's
Eckstein.
Name? Yes. He named his baby David Eckstein. Just incredible.
From the South Side.
Yeah. Well, Shad, you know, famously was in tears when the Brooklyn Dodgers left for Los Angeles.
It's been a foundational memory.
Yeah.
It's shaped everything he's done ever since.
I'm surprised he didn't name his kid Eddie Stanky for that reason, as a matter of fact.
It's the next one.
All right, go ahead. Say the baby's name.
Baby Rookie.
Rookie. The baby's name is Rookie.
Which I was like, well, what happens?
Year two.
When Rookie's 67.
Uh-huh.
He's like, we're changing they're changing the whole vision of the name Rookie.
Yeah.
And they had a whole thing about each letter being significant to the family. I was like, that's a beautiful story.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It was amazing.
Little Rookie.
Yeah, Little Rookie. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I was like, eventually it's going to be an old Rookie. And that'll be a little weird.
Sort of like Shota Imanaga in that way.
But an all-star. So old rookies have success.
Old rookies, man.
All right. There we go.
Got nothing to worry about.
All right. There are other players, apparently, I've been told, that played in this game.
Yeah, man.
I guess we'll talk about him. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Mullen Hall, Chicago's number one most listened to sports morning show, 5:30 till 10 a.m.
Brad Biggs on Caleb Williams' first preseason game.
It looked really sharp. They were crisp in and out of the huddle. They moved the ball. Caleb was sharp. He was good on the move. You saw him go to the backside on third down to pick up the first down with Keenan Allen. The only thing you'd like to see better out of 20 snaps is they get in the end zone.
Mullen Hall, mornings 5:30 till 10 a.m. on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Climate Guard Windows.
If you need windows, you need Climate Guard. We've been making windows in Chicago for over 45 years. Purchase with confidence, backed by our price match guarantee. Great financing available. Visit ClimateGuardWindows.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back. Circa Survivor and Circa Million are now up to $16 million in guaranteed prizes. Two ways to win and no rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread. Last the longest. chances to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. And Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed. Quarterly and full season payouts. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Helzberg Diamonds presents The Guy Who Did His Homework. When it came to Jill's engagement ring, Brady knew exactly what to get.
Okay, so I came up with a design and showed it to all of our friends.
She'll love it!
Then he went to Helzberg. Their incredible selection of high-quality, lab-grown and natural diamonds made creating that special ring easy. Her reaction?
I love it! Can't wait to tell everybody!
Everybody might know about it.
Be like Brady. Create the ring of your dreams at a Helzberg near you or at Helzberg.com. Ask now about special financing offers.
Let's go, Cubs!
It's 6 a.m. First pitch is until 1:20.
Exactly. We gotta leave early to find a good parking spot.
Use Spot Hero.
Spot Hero?
Yeah. Visit SpotHero.com or download the app to search for parking near your destination. You can compare spots and pay to reserve your parking before you even leave the house.
Book parking with Spot Hero, a proud partner of the Chicago Cubs and Wrigley Field. Use promo code CUBS10 for 10% off your first reservation. Spot Hero, where you park.
Attention, Chicago land car buyers. Save big at HawkAuto.com with 0% financing for 72 months. That's no interest for 6 years. Choose from new, pre-owned, and certified pre-owned. 13 big brands, thousands of vehicles, 9 convenient locations. In Forest Park, St. Charles, Plainfield, Joliet, and Carroll Stream. Plus, no one will pay you more for your trade-in. Find your next car at
HawkAuto.com.
$13.89 per month per 1,000 finance on select models with approved credit.
Guys, if I'm in a hotel room, I miss my bed. It can be for one night. A Sleep Number bed was a game changer for my wife and I, and it can be for you and your partner as well. It's got adjustable firmness on each side. My Sleep Number setting is 75, hers a 40. It helps you fall asleep and stay asleep. It adjusts as you move throughout the night. I toss and turn. So if you wake up tired, you're not maximizing your REM sleep. Sleep Number is a bed designed to maximize your REM sleep, and it's all tracked right there with the Sleep IQ score that you can control through the app on your phone. You can even adjust the bed settings. It's been a game changer for us. It can be a game changer for you. Sleep matters for your mood, your health. It's an investment in your sleep. You should make it now with Sleep Number. During Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed, plus free home delivery on select smart beds when you add a base. And Sunday, August 18th, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Or in Merrillville, opposite Southlake Mall, off East US Highway 30 and Mississippi Street, next to Outback Steakhouse. Or in Vernon Hills on East Townline Road at Hawthorne Mall near Uncle Julio's.
Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
Mully and Haw here.
We all know the Odyssey app is a great way to enjoy the score on your way to work.
But here's a pro tip. There's so much more to enjoy from the score before and after your commute.
Turn the score on your mobile device or smart speaker as soon as you wake up to get caught up with all of Chicago's teams.
And keep us on once you get to work so you don't miss a thing.
Listen to the score all day on whatever device you use. You'll thank us later.
Because we're always live on the free Odyssey app before and after your commute.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants in stock.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Window Nation's anniversary sale right now. Buy two windows and get two free. Plus, pay nothing for 24 months and get an extra $250 credit. Hurry. The sale ends August 31st, so schedule an in-home estimate at 866-90-NATION or at windownation.com.
All right, when it comes to getting life insurance for your family, a lot of excuses can get in the way. But ask yourself this. If something were to happen to me, who would pay the mortgage, the kids' education, and the other bills? Then forget the excuses and check out Ethos Life, the online, easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Ethos has rates that you can afford, like a $500,000 policy for a 40-year-old male starting at $1 a day or $30 a month with a few health questions and no medical exam. Get your free quote right now at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Rates do vary.
Right now at Wendy's, you can get a small Frosty for a buck. And literally everyone is going. The car behind you, going to get a dollar Frosty. The car ahead of you, already had one, going for a second. The person who cut you off earlier, you guessed it, Dollar Frosty. Maybe it's all a sign for you to go get one. Just don't cut anyone off. No one likes that person. The iconic Frosty for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Not valid in a combo. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, California, and via third-party delivery.
This is Jim Rome with an Odyssey Sports Minute. I'm not sure what Jason Tatum is so unhappy about. Kevin Durant came off the bench for this team. The greatest and most decorated Olympian ever in men's basketball came off the bench for this team. And not for a game, but for the entire Olympics until Saturday. I don't hear him talking about how...
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Those network nitwits wouldn't know a decent announcer from a Ken doll.
Do you see what this is?
Yeah, your hand.
It's my fist. When I close it while we're on the air, you close your mouth. That's the most important skill in this job. That's you talking. That's you shutting up. Comprende?
Afternoons on the Score.
Boy, Trubisky got swallowed up. I don't know if everybody was on the same page there for Buffalo. And Daniel Hardy, along with Austin Booker, the rookie, sandwiched Trubisky for a third down sack right on cue.
What a great clip to pull, Tanny, for the others not named Caleb Williams impression of the Bears preseason opener against the Bills, because obviously there were some pretty incredible defensive numbers. You know, like just like Austin Booker, who they traded back up, he gave a future pick to take the defensive end from Kansas, had 2.5 sacks.
After having what? 1.5 sacks in the first game?
Yes. And then Daniel Hardy also having 2.5 sacks in the game.
They need to create and find young players with some edge rush skill because they're not signing a veteran to this point.
They're not to this point. Maybe Ryan Poles will shock us and trade for Matthew Judon. You know, we'll see what happens with Hassan Reddick. Jets, Joe Douglas released a statement saying, yeah, we're not trading him, so we're going to keep finding him if he misses practice, but he ain't going anywhere.
That dude is a pass rush machine.
He is. But general managers don't generally come out and make on-the-record statements and saying, no, we're not trading you. We will fine you until you... Like, the Jets are trying to win a Super Bowl this year, so they don't want to trade him. But so assuming there is no, you know, significant addition of an in-their-prime caliber pass rusher, one of the biggest offseason additions on defense is Eric Washington, a guy who fluces calling the defense. But this guy apparently is some sort of defensive line whisperer who gets guys to overachieve at the position. Austin Booker's an Eric Washington project.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy's an Eric Washington project. Early returns. And again, no game planning, playing against backups. This is they might have zero sacks all year.
But there are dudes out there in the NFL who are sixth and seventh round finds who are pass rushers. Who's the guy in Detroit? Who they found?
Kaminsky?
Is that
the guy? Opposite Hutchinson?
No, there's another dude I'm thinking about who often lines up at outside linebacker, but can do that. Bruce Irvin was another like late round find, or maybe even a free agent find for Seattle back in the day. But there are you can find guys who have you know some edge skills and some edge slipperiness.
Talking about Derek Barnes?
No.
Who are you talking about?
Carlton Davis?
No.
Anzalone was not that late of a pick.
No, I'm not.
Jack Campbell?
No, he was a first-round pick.
Davenport was a first-round pick. I'm not sure who you're talking about.
James Houston.
Talking
about James Houston.
Are you talking about James Houston?
Nailed it. Shane, good job. But yeah,
James Houston?
Yeah, James Houston.
Are you talking about Aiden Hutchinson?
No, I'm not. Talking about James Houston. And anyway, you can find what I'm saying is that dudes are findable and they're going to have to bank on it. You're right. Big year for Eric Washington and a lot of guys that can possibly benefit from him. Austin Booker has like that natural around the edge slipperiness thing. And Flus was talking about that. I'm watching him like, oh, look at him. Slippery. And then Flus just called it slip. Did you see that? He has good slip. He's got that natural ability to slip.
Good slip.
And move around the corner.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's got that man, if you've got that and you're going to be singled up a lot on the edge and you've got that slip, that's a hell of a starting point to get. And then you'll see there should be other moves and hope you're strong enough for the bull rush and all of that. But that slipperiness around the edge, it's sometimes all you need to like start making an impact.
Slippery over there.
Yeah.
I thought
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I just thought the... Hey, I wasn't sure we were going to see anyone all year pop as a defensive line pass rusher not named Montez Sweat or Jervon Dexter.
Yeah.
You know, I just wasn't sure. And so, again, maybe they'll have zero sacks all year during the regular season and they'll have no tackles for loss and they won't play and maybe Hardy will get cut. You know, who knows? But just early returns of like, oh, there's something there. So those guys were the first ones who jumped out to me from the non-Caleb
edition.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mark Anderson is the guy who had all the sacks as a rookie opposite Adewale Ogunleye for the Bears because he was a rookie singled all the time and nobody really thinking about him and accounting for him. So and that it does happen. By the way, Richard Dent, obviously a 7th, 8th round pick. Bruce Irvin, a 1st round pick in Seattle. So that doesn't carry. That doesn't work. Tanny, can you dump that? And you dump the last 3.5 minutes? All right, man, thanks.
Max Crosby.
Did you say years?
Max
since
Crosby,
like
good
February
example.
February of 21.
All right, it's been a while then since he was a first round pick. A lot of guys have been
Max
drafted
Crosby.
Since Bruce Irvin.
Max Crosby's
a good example of a mid range. I think he was a 4th round pick. He's picked in the hundreds of the draft of a guy who's like turned into one of
there
the best pass rushers in football.
Yeah, so every one of those draft picks, right now, it's a good time to be optimistic about the draft picks. How about Torrey Taylor, man?
So that was the next name I was
going to
say.
Torrey Taylor, you're spending a 4th-round pick on a punter, and then you see that dude, and there's one like really nice pin inside the 20, and even the other one was a nice one, non-returned on the sideline.
Yeah, right to the sideline. We averaged 48 yards per punt. I've been thinking about, how good does Torrey Taylor need to be for it to be worth a 4th-round pick? Is it longevity? Or is it best punter in the league? Genuine question. I'm not asking.
Didn't
this
it feel kind of silly, like watching Austin Booker show out, knowing that he was picked a round after the punter?
Yes,
it felt kind of silly.
I agree. With you.
But then that first punt that Torrey Taylor had, that was a killer punt.
It sure was.
It was an awesome punt.
And they had to trade a future asset to get Austin Booker.
Right.
And I'm thinking, if you draft Austin Booker where you draft Torrey Taylor, is Torrey Taylor available?
Probably not.
And I guess,
he wasn't going to be available. He's an anomaly.
That's certainly what Ryan Poles is banking on. But what Austin Booker does, undeniably more valuable than what Torrey Taylor does.
I don't know.
You will deny it.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if it's more valuable.
Okay.
I think it's especially now with the way the kickoffs are, it's a field position game. And if Torrey Taylor, anytime the Bears have to punt, is going to put the opposition within the 5 or 10 yard line, that's massive.
Well, if every time or any time, yes, that would
massive.
Be huge.
So inside the 20, I'm going to want a lot of inside the 20 from Torrey Taylor because that is his purported skill as well, right?
Yeah,
that he can do that. So inside the
crazy hang time, crazy directional accuracy, he could backspin a ball and make it stop on a dime inside the 5 or 10. Yeah,
Australian.
Trenton Gill was like outside the top 20 in inside the 20 as we're looking here 5, 10, 50. I think Trenton Gill was almost 30th of all punters at inside the 20. The most is 38, Bryce Baringer of the Patriots, Thomas Morstead, A.J. Cole up there, Tress Way of Washington, J.K. Scott, whatever. I'm going to need top 10. I need.
He needs to be a top 10 punter to justify the fourth-round pick?
Top 10 at inside the 20.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fourth-round pick, man. It's a big deal.
I know. I'm not sure if that's enough.
Oh, I think it is.
Okay, but
if he's top 10 at inside the 20, and what? And top 15 in net yards? Inside the 20 is the skill, and that supposedly he's got that control and that mastery. So show it to me. Show me that can translate.
Well, so you're answering this question as like just a year one thing. Like I'm kind of talking about the career, like to justify. To me, it's like got to answer the punting position. He's got to be a clear second contract, like Torrey Taylor is a Bear for 8+ years type of thing.
I'm not going to be able to answer that this year for you.
No, I know. I'm
so not, but it's a win now. That was part of it. Like you're in a win now mode. You're in a compete now mode and compete for the next 3 years. So I need him to be good immediately if you're using a draft pick on it.
I agree. But if you're using a draft pick on it, just top half of the league in a stat like that, feels like you should be better than that.
Top 10, though.
Yeah.
Top 10 is top third of the league.
All right. All right.
So I need him top 10 and inside the 20 and top half in net yards.
Okay.
Can I say something rash?
That would be a first.
Say something about a rash? Do you have a rash?
No, I don't. Like A&D, good. I don't care. I trust Ryan Poles enough. What I'm saying is I don't care
about the
assets, the assets that he used to acquire a punter in the fourth round. I trust him. I don't care. I don't care that he drafted a punter in the fourth round.
You're not going to be spending your year trying to justify the fourth round draft pick.
I like Torrey Taylor. He seems like a ton of fun. He's a good punter. I don't care that they took a punter in the fourth round. There are so many more things to worry about outside of that.
He's Australian, so that means he can breakdance. Like, naturally, he's just got some breakdance
skill. He's probably better than a lot of the Olympians that did it. Dude, that woman was embarrassing.
Oh, no, dude. But I read about her. She's like, she's got a PhD in cultural movement.
She definitely doesn't have it in breakdancing.
But she convinced her country to send her to Paris, all expenses paid, to compete in breakdancing.
Hell of a vacation.
Dude, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, she's like putting herself out.
So how did she qualify?
I don't know that there was a lot of competition in Australia. Yeah,
they were probably looking for people. They're like,
oh,
no, you don't have to.
I'm good at this. Really,
I promise you could do it.
I just
don't care.
The bunny hop.
I don't.
Her bunny hop was just exquisite. I had not seen that move in breakdancing before.
I don't expect them to punt.
No, that's what
anyway.
I don't even. Which is all the more reason to not draft a punter in the fourth round. Just get Caleb another receiver. Get him another guy to throw to. Get him another blocker.
No, man, I love it. I dig it. If he is a field position weapon and sets that defense up with some opportunities to pin and punt, you know, I'm looking forward to that, and I think he'll be beneficial.
All right, he better be damn good. First impressions.
Yeah.
Really damn good.
You would like a quarterback to be the only player on the field. And I believe in a full football.
Well, I like guys that catch the ball too.
Oh, okay. You need those.
Someone's got to score. Yeah. Someone's got to catch Caleb's passes. You know?
Invisible punter is not something we considered last week.
I just go for it on fourth down. Go for it on fourth down. That's what I'm saying. You got Caleb Williams back there. You see those throws? Just go for it.
I saw the throws.
You saw the throws?
Yeah.
You watched it?
We've worked together long enough for me to know that's how you think.
It is exactly how I think.
I didn't pause.
Spiegs has told me, I don't know, you guys can confirm on account.
What?
He told me the baseball season's not over.
It's not over.
I don't know.
It's not.
It is for Brooks Baldwin.
Oh, boy.
It feels
home! Throw home!
Yeah, that was a weird play.
What's our guy Willie Harris doing, by the way?
Waving. Dude, he's sending him. That's everyone.
He's out here living. Living his best life. Just waving people.
Do you want me to call him? Should I call him next segment?
Oh, no. Just let him go.
I mean,
he also said he'd like the White Sox job, and that would be nice. I'd wish that for him, but stop waving people.
It worked.
It did work. He knew. He had the scouting report that guy wasn't going to throw.
Only because it's the White Sox.
Well,
the only reason it worked.
He scattered his opponent.
That's a good job.
He's like, these guys are not going to be able to execute this throw.
Brooks Baldwin doesn't know what the hell he's doing yet. Miguel Vargas isn't going to say anything.
He doesn't know.
Go!
He doesn't know where home plate is. He would have been out by 60 feet. It's Parkinson Spiegel, the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Those radio losers, nobody cares about them.
Afternoons on the score.
Neris looking for the save. His 17th of the year. Runner goes. Swing! Two-run single by Miguel Amaya in the eighth, the difference. And the Chicago Cubs continue their improved play, now just one game under .500 after their third season series sweep all time against the White Sox.
Congratulations.
yeah, sweeping the White Sox, we can't get the Fichtner congratulations for that. It's not that big of an accomplishment.
Now we get the second best congratulations drop. And they're back to one game under .500 for the first time since June 6th. By the way, that's how long it's been since they've been one game under .500.
Feels like an eternity.
I know, dude. And yet here they are, just three games back in the wild card race. It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because the playoff odds are still just 9%. According to FanGraphs, So even though they're close in the wild card, there's still, you know, three teams in front of them. Flawed teams, but still teams in front of them. So, but here they are, man. They are not dead. They have not conceded it conversationally, emotionally, in terms of their effort, etc. Nico told us last week they're still talking about it and chatting about it, you know. And they still believe that there's time to do it, and the calendar is still their friend. And oh, by the way, they're playing some pretty good ball.
And the schedule's easy in terms of win-loss percentage. The schedule is very, very easy.
They got three against Cleveland right now. Cleveland's a very good team at that place starting tonight. We're out a little early for the first of those three. But after that especially, easiest schedule in all of baseball remaining. Easiest one.
FanGraph says they've got a 9.2% chance to make the playoffs. So you say the calendar is their friend, kind of.
It's not their
possible.
They're not outruled. Like it's not impossible because of the calendar. The calendar is still their ally. I won't say friend, but it is still their ally. There's still enough time.
Yeah, but they
got to play great ball and not lose a single series from here on out.
And you've got to jump four teams in the wild card. You got to jump San Francisco, St. Louis, New York, and Atlanta, and you've lost the season series against a couple of them already, so you lose the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
so that's like an extra game.
Dude, they have no tiebreakers with anybody.
So
that's brutal. Yes.
It's all brutal. They are playing better baseball, but it absolutely still, to me, has a too little too late feeling. The only thing that they have going for them, as I see it, is that I declared their season over.
Right, so that could work in their favor. Well, yes, that's a big thing. So I'm hoping that the Parkins mush of death, is that what it's called?
It was the Parkins pick of death in Kansas City.
It's
a huge mush.
Okay.
Yeah,
the Parkins mush hopefully will have an effect. Look, I think they're a better team than the Cardinals. And I think they're a better team than the Giants. Okay,
great. Their record is worse.
I know.
Yeah,
but I think they could pass those two teams. I don't know if they're. I don't think they're better than the Braves and the Mets. But they could play better here on out, and the schedule will help and stuff like that. But like a couple of those teams you mentioned, I'd be surprised if they don't finish ahead of the Cardinals and the Giants. How about this, though? I'll give you this. You know what they call September up in Milwaukee, or they have since 2015? They call it Craigtember, because your boy, Craig Counsell, has been really good in September. The Brewers have won 58% of their games since 2015 in September. They've won 52% of their games in the other months. They have a better winning percentage by 6 points in September than they do the rest of the other months combined. Is that because Craig has used the expanded rosters, which don't exist as much anymore, better than others? Maybe.
Do you remember the very first night of Craigtember?
I love that. Or is it because he gets to know his teams as the year goes on and puts them in the best position, and his constancy and consistency is appreciated by teams as the season goes on? And that part is intriguing to me, because this bullpen is number one in baseball since the 1st of June.
Yeah.
So that has settled down and settled in, and he's got to get some credit for that. And the offense, after the trade especially, is in a much better place. Last 15 days, the offense is top 10 in home runs and on base percentage, in batting average, in all of it. So if he's now gotten to know his team and is putting people in the best position to succeed, and his constancy is, like, if the Cubs are looking at a Craigtember as opposed to the collapse last year, it could be very interesting. I find myself finding a little hope.
You were out.
I know.
Okay.
I was broken, is what I was. I was broken, Danny.
So now they're fixing you. They're putting you back together. You're Humpty Dumpty.
I am Humpty Dumpty. I was not out as much as I was broken. You remember that? I was lashing out in all directions. It is. Yeah. It is. And the season, it just keeps going. They keep throwing games at you.
Yeah,
keep throwing results at you.
Too many.
I disagree.
All right.
It's just getting good, baby. Let's go.
Well, yeah, they finally started to play well.
But the whole season is getting good.
Once everyone started paying attention to the Bears.
It's unbelievable what's going on with this season in baseball. It's good. It's why it's not over.
All right.
No matter what you think.
Yeah, we'll talk to Nico about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
He'll say, you know what? It's not over. I'm like, all right, that's fascinating. It's not over.
Yeah.
There's still games left.
We could tell him I was broken.
We'll tell him.
I wasn't out. I was broken. You've been out.
Oh, I've been out. I've definitely been out. It was an incredible day on Saturday with all the viewing experiences. We'll take you through it and more Bears, and then Mark Grody with his impressions of Caleb in 30 minutes. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.